The biggest one of these is known as WannaCry, and WannaCry started to attack users about a week ago on May 12th. Now, WannaCry is based on some exploits that were leaked from the National Security Agency by a group called Shadow Brokers. And the names of these two exploits are Eternal Blue and Double Pulsar. We'll get back to those in just a second. But what happened to victims of these attacks were they would see screens like this suddenly pop up on their Windows computers. Basically, what's happening here is the ransomware is saying, all your files have been encrypted, and you need to pay us $300 in Bitcoin in a couple of days. Or in a couple of days, we're going to say you have to pay us $600 in Bitcoin. And after that, we're just going to delete your files. Now, that's not exactly a trivial amount of money. And getting a hold of Bitcoin is also not necessarily the easiest thing to do. Right now, one Bitcoin at the time of this filming is worth about $1,800. So getting your hands on one in order to pay this ransom can definitely be no small feat. Now, how these attacks work is taking advantage of an exploit in SMB 1.0. And I know what you're thinking. No, SMB 1.0 is not Super Mario Bros. 1, the classic game from my childhood. But actually, SMB 1.0 is the earliest version of Microsoft's file sharing protocol. And a user might experience using this protocol if, for example, they're in an organization that has a networked file server where many different users' terminals are connecting to that file server or other network shared drives. They're probably using SMB. Now, there have been several versions of SMB since 1.0. I think they're up to 3.1 or something now. But it is 1.0 that is that is attacked by these Eternal Blue and Double Pulsar exploits. Now, this is actually not even the first time we've heard of SMB being part of a malware attack. You may recall a couple of years ago that Sony Pictures in November of 2014 was also the victim of a malware attack whereby users who exploited SMB in a different way than what we're talking about today were able to get a hold of Sony's employee roster and their home addresses and social security numbers, bank information, stuff you really don't want hackers to get a hold of, and tried to extort Sony to pay up to prevent that information from being leaked. Now, we heard about the current attack. The first large-scale victim of this appeared to be Britain's National Health Service. And the reason that this seemed to gain a lot of traction around the NHS was they're a very large organization, and apparently they were running a lot of legacy versions of Windows, which were using the SMB 1.0 protocol, which allowed this to spread very quickly through their system. Now, fortunately, this week there was some good news. A security researcher found a kill switch, basically a way to just stop the virus from spreading, or the ransomware from spreading. And the way they were able to find this actually only cost them less than $11, which is pretty amazing. All the security researcher had to do was register these two URLs, which don't exactly seem like obvious URLs. They're pretty long, this random string of letters and numbers. But by registering those URLs, the security researcher was able to stop the spread of the ransomware. Now, as it turns out, WannaCry is written in Visual C++, which looks pretty similar to C, which means we can actually take a look at the segment of code involved in this so-called kill switch that stopped the spread of the ransomware and see just how it worked. So the first thing we see here is a function called to memcopy, which copies information that the user is supplying into a location in memory. Here, URL is just a substitute for that really long string. I didn't want to type it out here again, but we're just copying that URL into memory so that it can be used later on. A couple of lines of code followed that weren't that important. But then WannaCry tried to open two internet connections. The first one, V4, is just checking to see whether the user is using a proxy server. So that one's not super important here. But V5 is the key to what allowed this kill switch to work. So what's trying to happen here is we are calling a function called internetOpenURL, and it is trying to open an internet connection to the URL that is stored in SZURL, which is one of those really long alphanumeric strings. If it succeeds, so if V5, which means if I was able to establish an internet connection, as in that site exists, we just close both of the internet connections we just tried to open, and we don't do anything else. But if that second one did not succeed, if V5 failed because that long URL didn't exist, so you can't go to that domain name, then it would close both the handles, and then it would execute this function, sub408090. Apparently, sub408090 is where the code that would then encrypt all of the user's files and then put up that big red ransom screen lived. So just by registering those domain names, which did not exist before, when the code went to check to see whether it could establish an internet connection, it succeeded. And so this subroutine would no longer execute. Now, the bad news here is that after this news of this got out, the hackers took that kill switch out. And so now there is another version of WannaCry out there that does not that is not going to be shut off by that kill switch any further. Now, Microsoft, back in March, actually, released a security update for currently supported versions of the Windows operating system for SMB. And the reason that they released this update was that the most severe of the vulnerabilities that they're patching here could allow remote code execution if the attacker sends specifically crafted messages to an SMB version 1 server. So clearly, they did not want this to happen. They released a security patch for any currently supported versions of Windows. Unfortunately, you know what is not a currently supported version of Windows? Windows XP. And despite that, Windows XP is actually still used by about 7% of computers on the planet, which makes it the third most popular operating system still in use on the planet. And that's despite XP having been officially deprecated by Microsoft in April of 2014. But Microsoft realized that this patch was affecting too many people, this exploit was affecting too many people. They had to patch it, and so they actually released an emergency patch for unsupported versions of Windows in response to this particular attack. Now, if you were using any of these versions of Windows here and you had automatic updates turned on, or at least critical security updates turned on for automatic download and install, you're likely safe from this attack all along. If you're using any of these versions of Windows, though, which are officially unsupported and you haven't been subjected to this attack yet, which is good, head to the Microsoft website, download that patch, and maybe consider upgrading to a different version of the Windows operating system so that you will be more protected in case of things like this happening again. For more on this attack and how Microsoft recommends customers respond to it, head to this URL here. But never forget the importance of backing up your files.
Backup systems. If you're in the habit, as you should be, of backing up all of your files, your software might be using SHA-1 in order to ensure that your files indeed correctly backed up.